It's great to be here. A great church, one of the great churches in the CRC movement, I believe, this one. And it's great to be here and have some fellowship with you guys and meet some people that we've known for many years. That's fantastic. Yeah, we moved to Maui about 4.5 years ago, and now I run a bookshop. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not surprised about that, but... It's not a Christian bookshop, although we do have a lot of Christian books and Bibles, but it's kind of the only bookshop in the town, and we get all sorts of people coming in, and it's a great opportunity to meet people and witness to people. Sandy and I are both involved in our worship team in Maui. Our pastor there is Pastor Glenda Nordham, and she's doing a fantastic job. The church is really buzzing. And... we're also looking to revitalize the church at Churchill, which Sandy and I were pastors there for several years, but then after we left and through a whole series of things, the church got down to about 3 people. And they just kind of held on and just kept the church, you know, officially going. And now the Maui Church has taken on responsibility for revitalizing that. So we're excited about that as well. So thank you for the privilege of being able to come here and share today. I already feel that you've ministered to me, so I hope that we can minister to you. I've got a message that I feel that God has given me that I'm learning as I go along. And it's about living confidently in Christ. And I think Pastor Chris has already sort of touched on this and mentioned the theme a few times in leading the communion this morning. But I just really... Well, do you know anyone in your life who just goes through life just so confident all the time? You know, that annoying person that never gets flustered by anything? You know, do you know anybody like that? They're always smiling. They're always joyful. There's a guy that comes into our shop, and he spends most of his time just walking around Maui, talking with people and smiling at people and whatever. And if you ever say, how are you, he'll say, fantastic. And he's just so excited and just, you know, so happy, so confident. He always goes past our shop and he raps on the window. He always scares me when he goes past. And then I look up and he's waving and smiling and grinning at me. Do you know people like that? You do, right? Some of you do. We watched a TV program, Sandy and I, recently, and there's this woman on the TV program that no matter what happens, she's always calm and unflustered and always smiling and always happy. Don't you find those people annoying? Well, just going through life with such a profound sense of assurance and confidence. And don't you wish you could be a bit more like that yourself? I know I've needed to be. Talking about being, you know, worried about this and that and nervous about this and that. I guess that's been kind of me, but God's really showing me that we have the opportunity to really live confidently in Christ. So the purpose of what I would like to share today is that we can live with confidence in Christ. And then, in fact, we should be the most confident people in the face of the earth. And then... God willing, we'll just have a little bit of time to look at how we can actually live more like that. Because there's a conviction in my spirit that, you know, sometimes we know all of the stuff, but it doesn't always show out in our day-to-day life. We don't always have that confident assurance. In fact, sometimes we can be a little bit timid, a little bit fearful, a little bit worried about what other people are going to say. Maybe second-guessing ourselves in things that we're doing. And I believe God wants to just break that and so we can just live with more confidence. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you love that? God is doing a work in you and me. He's doing a work in us, and he wants to make us perfect in Christ. And you say, well, he's got a long way to go. But I tell you what, he's not going to stop until he's finished. That verse says so. He's not going to stop until he has completed the work that he wants to do in us. Is that good news? Right. Hebrews, what's the basis for confident living in Christ? And Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You know, fearful, negative people seem to attract trouble like a magnet. Is that true? And confident people in the same way seem to attract blessing and success in life. And you see a lot of the advertising that goes on in magazines or on TV or whatever. And you know, if you think about it, so much of it is saying, buy our product and you will go through life with confidence. Can you think of advertisements like that? I know there's some, you know, female products and whatever. I can remember in years gone by there was a toothpaste thing that talked about a ring of confidence. Anybody old enough to remember that? A few people. It's true that people want to live confidently in life. They don't want to be shackled down, nervous and worried every day when they go through life. Everything that we do in life goes better with a positive, confident attitude. And confidence in Christ brings great rewards. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Just going to have a quick drink. Amen. What a great looking congregation. Yeah, fantastic. Why should we live confidently in Christ? First of all, because our God wants us to reign in life. I've been getting some revelation on this. God does not want me to be defeated. He wants me to rule and reign. Last October, I think it was, I was told that, just through some routine things, medical things, I was told that I had a suspicious-looking lump on one of my kidneys. And they were a bit worried that it might be a cancerous thing. But, you know, I just sort of thought, okay, God has this under control. They said they found it accidentally, which I don't believe it was an accident. But just 5-6 weeks ago, I had a surgery to remove that. And I haven't looked back, and I faced the whole thing with a confidence that perhaps I wouldn't have had before. I didn't worry. My mother was worried. She's worried about things all the time. My mother once was, when I was driving back from Ringwood to Churchill at one stage, I was doing a Bible college course, and she spoke to me and she said, what time did you get home last night? And I said, I think I got home about 10:30. And she says, oh no. I said, well, what's wrong? And she said, well, I thought you would have been home by 9:30. I stopped worrying at 9:30. True story. God wants us to reign in life. That really appeals to me. Through Jesus and in his righteousness, we can overcome anything that comes against us. We are overcomers. And we can soar over obstacles, over difficulties, difficult circumstances. God does not want us to be downcast and defeated. He wants us to reign in life. Reigning in life, that's our calling. Secondly, our God wants us to be confident about eternal life. It's one of the clearest promises in Scripture. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8, it says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There's a confidence in life that comes from knowing that our eternal destiny is secure. A confidence that comes from knowing that this life is not all there is, and that the life that we are going to enjoy with our Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus for eternity is something that's been guaranteed by the cross of Christ. And we just have to follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Do you have the Holy Spirit? Then that is the guarantee that all of God's promises are going to come to fruition. You know, I sometimes wonder what non-Christians must think when they go to a Christian funeral and they see everybody talking so confidently about our brother or our sister is now with the Lord for all eternity in heaven. And people who don't believe that, I wonder what they think about Christians who are so sure we know the eternal destiny. So we have confidence. Our God also wants us to have confidence in prayer. 1 John 5:14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Hallelujah. And also Hebrews 4:16, "Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We're God's children. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? We're God's children. So we can come boldly before our Heavenly Father with our requests, with our prayer, with our needs. We are to have confidence in prayer and not to be full of doubt when we come to pray, but to pray with that confidence that he's hearing us, and that if it's something that is according to his will and it's something that's good and it's not something just selfish for us, that he's going to answer our prayers. We need to have that confidence in our prayer times. Our God wants us also to witness in the world with boldness and confidence. And I believe that that's what God has got me to share this afternoon at Digger's Rest, a little bit more unpacking about boldness in witnessing and sharing our faith. The Apostle Paul was a very confident man, very bold, confident. I love when he was thrown in prison that instead of moaning about, oh, the sacrifices that I have to make in being a preacher of the gospel and look what happens to me, in Philippians 1, 12 to 14, this is what he says. "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So here he is, he's in prison. And instead of moaning about his circumstances, he's saying, "Praise God, the fact that I'm in prison is releasing other people to be more bold in sharing about Jesus." I sort of think, wow, that's amazing. That's true. When we see other people leading by example and they fearlessly preach the gospel, it takes away the fear from us and we don't have to be frightened. We can be bold in our witness. Amen. And isn't that why we have the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about just nice feelings for us. It's about power to go out and witness and share the gospel. It's about power for living. We have access to supernatural power. What a fantastic basis for living a confident life. All these people in the world, all these books that I sell in my bookshop are about, you know, teaching children to be confident and to, you know, to be calm in all circumstances and all these things. And yet we are the ones that has the secret for that. We are the ones that has the basis, that have the basis for a confident life. The world needs to see that we really believe what we say we believe. The world needs to see our passion. And as we share about the Jesus that we love, that has done so much for us, we share that with a passion and an enthusiasm. When we talk about Jesus, people see that we really mean it, that it's not just a theory. It's not some wishful thinking on our behalf. It's actually very real. You know, you can't do that with self-confidence. We are not talking here about self-confidence, which is, you know, I'm trusting myself to be able to do a good job with something. This is talking about confidence in Christ, that He is with us, the Holy Spirit is with us, inspiring us, and that is the basis for our confidence. Not self-confidence, it's a confidence that is based on a deep and abiding personal knowledge of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a confidence that's based on studying and knowing the Word of God until the truth impacts our life, the very fibre of our being. And it's a confidence that's based on our ongoing experience of the awesome power and faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Confidence is about trust. And I've known some people that are ridiculously self-confident. They're so brilliant at everything, you know, that everything in life just seems like a breeze. Nothing bothers them at all. I've never really been like that. But that's not the kind of confidence I'm talking about anyway. Confidence is about trust. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." Now, up to a certain point, self-confidence is a good thing. If you're excellent in the kitchen and you do great cooking, it's good to be confident about that. If you're a great mechanic and you love fixing up things on cars and you know you can do it well, that's great. It's just that self-confidence has limits. There are situations in life where we simply have to trust somebody that's bigger than us. So many situations where we can't be confident because of our natural skills or abilities. We have to be confident in life because there is a God who is behind us, who is looking after everything in our life. You know, trust, what's the difference between trust and having confidence? You know, trust is, you know, you learn to trust something, even a chair or a car or a computer. Mind you, I don't really trust my computer all that much. I don't know how people are here with computers, but my computer does funny things sometimes, and I never quite know what it's going to do. I don't fully trust my computer, but I do trust a lot of things. I've had cars in the past that I didn't trust very well. I wasn't sure when I started the car if I was going to actually get from point A to point B. Praise God, we have a car now that seems much more reliable. I'm quite happy about that. Anybody here that likes to follow the football? No, not many. Sometimes you listen to the commentators and they'll say, such and such a team is really playing with great confidence today. And I'd like you to think about what that means. What does it mean if a team is playing with great confidence? They're bold, they'll do things that maybe seem a bit outlandish, but they trust each other that everybody's going to do their part and it's all going to work out. They trust each other's skill and ability. Now, I believe that the church here is really based on a strong sense of trusting the team. Would that be a fair comment? That people in the church here know that on a Sunday morning, there's different people that are going to do their jobs and they're all going to do it well, so we have confidence. And I think that's a fantastic thing. We do the whole church thing so much better when each part of the body has confidence in each other part of the body. We trust each other that we are using our skills and abilities to bless God. And we're using our skills and abilities so that the church becomes a welcoming place that a non-Christian can walk into and say, hey, this feels like home. I feel like I could belong here. Or even a Christian who's been out in the woods for a while and backslidden or whatever, they can come in and say, yeah, I'm coming home to Jesus. Because there's a team that's working and there's making sure that everything's done properly and that there's a sense of greetings and love and affection in the church. The Apostle Paul was very much into expressing his confidence about the people in his churches. I'd like to read three verses. Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Think about that. He's writing to the Romans. At this stage, he has never been to Rome, but he has this confidence about the people in the Lord that they are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to admonish and encourage and teach one another. 2 Corinthians 7:16. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. He's expressing his confidence. I've been to, I've heard of, not actually been to, but I've heard of churches where the senior ministry of the church doesn't express any confidence in the people. It's like they sort of think they have to. Well, actually, I was in a church like that some many years ago, where there was the senior pastor felt like they had to do everything because they didn't trust anybody else for what they were going to do. It was like, I can do it better, so I'll just do everything myself. That's not the kind of attitude that builds a good church, is it? And Hebrews 6:9 says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Now, there's a word that we often sort of speak very quietly to each other. The word is confidentially. And we might talk with someone and say, well, you know, confidentially, I've been having a struggle with this thing or whatever. And I thought, well, what's the connection between confidence and confidentially? And actually, it's pretty obvious, really. Because if you're telling somebody something in strictest confidence, you are putting confidence in that person that they are not going to spread it on social media or, you know, tell everybody what you've just told to them. It means we're trusting them not to tell anyone else. We show confidence in that person when we speak to someone confidentially. So the first thing about living confidently in Christ, it's a kind of a deep and abiding trust. Now, some people, through your life, some people may let you down. Some people may hurt you. But God is the guarantee behind all of that. You know, other people can hurt us, but God is there and he will uphold us whatever circumstances and situations we go through. Proverbs 27, verse 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, you know the rest of the verse, then the Lord will take care of me. So even if those people who are closest to you, somehow or other you feel that they've let you down, God hasn't let you down. He is behind it all. He's working in through it all. And we can still be confident. Our confidence in life does not need to be shaken because of something that somebody says or does. Because our confidence is in the Lord, not in them. What's the difference then between faith and confidence? Is there a difference between faith and confidence? Well, I believe for a lot of my Christian life, I have fully believed that God is all-powerful, all-faithful, ever-reliable, and I completely trusted him for the big picture stuff like eternal life. You know, that when I die, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to be in the Lord's presence forever. But at the same time, in the day-to-day stuff, I wasn't a confident person. I'd be second-guessing myself. I'd be nervous. I'd be anxious. So I believe confidence is an attitude that comes from faith. If we're walking in faith, the attitude of our life will be an attitude of confidence. Does that make sense? And real confidence comes from revelation in the Word of God. One of the classics that I'm sure many of you have had revelation on the same verse. But one of the classics, and one that had a huge impact on my life, is Romans 8:28. How many people love that verse? Right. Three people. Yeah, all the rest of you should look it up sometime. Right. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." All things work together for good. Whoa, hallelujah. So if I get a flat tire, so, you know, I'm going to be late for that meeting or whatever. It's all working together for good. We can trust him. We can trust God. He doesn't have bad purposes for us. His will for us is not to punish us and make us struggle through life. He has good purposes. And he's got all things working together for good. So you can see a revelation on the Word of God can change our attitude in the day-to-day. We can live confidently in Christ. I'm learning this. I'm learning this more and more. And I think no matter what stage of life we're at in Christ, it's always something that we can learn to just show a bit more confidence in our day-to-day life as well. Confidence is also about preparation. I think probably the worst feeling in the world would be standing up to talk in front of a group of people when you haven't done your preparation. I won't ask for show of hands if anybody's ever done that. Or you're going into an exam knowing that you could have studied, but you really didn't study properly for the exam. I wonder if that relates to anybody. You know, we usually know what we have to do if we're going to feel confident in some situation that's coming up. What I'd like to do now, and I'd like to ask for some feedback. What do we have to do to feel confident about facing life? Anybody? What do you think is a key to give us confidence in facing life? I've got a few things listed down, but I just want to see what you come up with. What was the thing that would give you confidence, yeah? Living in the Spirit. Great answer. Anybody else? Prayer. Somebody said prayer. What was? Trusting in God gives you confidence. That's what you were going to say. Right. Yeah? Sorry? Living in God's will. Yeah. That's an interesting one. I'll just stop there for a second. We all want to live in God's will if we're children of God. We want to live in his will. What about if I get it wrong? What about if I think I'm living in God's will, but somehow or other I mess up and get it wrong? Does that mean my whole, you know, everything sort of goes down the toilet? No, because God is able to turn around anything that we do that's wrong. If we actually do take a wrong step, he is able to get us back on track. So living in the will of God is an important one. Who else was going to say? Knowing who I am in Christ. Basis for confident living, right? Anybody else before I just go through my list? You can see the list up there. Having a sense of God's presence. You know, I often have this picture of a little kid in a schoolyard, and there's all of these, you know, bullies against this little kid. But the little kid is really, really confident and speaks boldly because right behind him is his bigger, older brother. And those bullies are not going to attack him because there's this really big brother protecting the little brother. It's a little bit like that with us and God. People might attack us. The devil might try and attack us. But we have God backing us up. So we can be confident. We can speak with boldness and confidence. We don't have to be worried what other people are going to think about us. So just look at my list that I've got there. To be confident in life, knowing that God is with us. That came out with when you said that. Studying the Word of God helps you to be confident. Keeping a clear conscience before God. Because, you know, if we're conscious of sin in our life, we're not going to live confidently in Christ. But we don't have to stay conscious of our sin, because we can confess our sin and forsake our sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we can live with a clear conscience. And living with a clear conscience is one of the keys to confidence in life. Worshipping God in the Spirit. And I believe that this is a worshipping church where you actually love to worship God in the Spirit. And worshipping God sets him up as being the authority in our lives, doesn't it? Praying frequently in the Spirit, including tongues. I love this. And I love the fact that this morning we had a prayer time and there was just a lot of praying in tongues. That's great, because that brings us into the Holy Spirit and that brings us into the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's fantastic. And I know I do that a lot. Sometimes in the morning I'm not feeling all that confident. I'm not feeling all that ready to face the day. But you spend some time just praying in the Spirit and boy, doesn't it buoy your spirit. Lift your spirit. Recognizing that in the context of our walk with Christ, when you get those negative defeatist thoughts, you know what? They're not coming from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not feed us negative stuff, negative thoughts and defeatist stuff. He might sometimes warn us about certain things, but he's not saying you can't do it, you're not good enough. He's not saying any of those things. So what we do that with that is we deal with those things in Jesus' name. Deal with those negative stuff that comes into your mind. And knowing that this life is not as important as eternity. Romans 8:17, which you also probably know, says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So in life, there may be suffering. But suffering doesn't mean that we can't be calm and confident and assured about where we're going, because we have an eternity. And the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be stacked up against the glories of eternity in comparison. It's just completely not worthy. The sufferings that we go through now is nothing compared with the glory which is prepared for us. Well, that makes a difference in the way we live our lives. If some things don't go our way, the way that we would like, we will not be shaken. So, just to bring all of this to some sort of conclusion, we're not talking about introverts becoming extroverts. Please understand that. It's not about making a lot of noise. It's not about being the life of every party. Confident living in Christ is about a calm assurance that God has everything under control. God has it under control. It's a habitual thing in life, a habitual attitude. And I believe that we can be in an attitude all the time, a habit of going out into the world confidently, of coming to our prayer closet with confidence, dealing with all relationships in our life with that sense of assurance and confidence in Christ. We can be that joyful, serene, happy person that knocks on the window and shocks you and gives you big grins and big smiles. Pastor Leo Harris, talked about creating your own atmosphere. If we are people of faith, I believe that means we create a confident, joyful, expectant attitude and an atmosphere wherever we go. Hallelujah. Bringing Christ into every situation, trusting Him in all things, knowing that He's got everything under control. It's all going to work out. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here who maybe is not confident about eternal life. I've talked about the confidence that people have that to be gone from this life is to be present with the Lord. If there's anybody here who is not confident about your eternal destiny, then you need to come to Jesus. You need to surrender to Him, and you need to come and accept the salvation that He has provided for you. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to deal with your sin and your shame and your guilt. There's salvation in Jesus. There is assurance in Jesus. You don't have to live your life worrying about where you're going to spend eternity. You can know that you have eternity with God in Christ Jesus. Do you want to be confident about the life that you have? Do you want to be confident about your witnessing? Maybe you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit. If so, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because Acts chapter 1 says, and verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. If you need to come to Jesus, if you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, then there's ministry here that you can receive. You don't have to go away feeling anxious about your eternal destiny or anxious about your day-to-day life. Are you born again? Are you a much loved child of God? Great chance to say yes, amen. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you a new creation in Christ? Are you clothed in His righteousness? Has the Almighty God promised to be with you always? And are you getting to know Him more and more with each passing year? Then you have every reason to live confidently in Christ. Can I just speak that over the church here this morning? Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, you have done so much for us. Jesus, on the cross, you provided everything that we really need. Lord, sometimes we think we need this or that, but they're things that pale in the light of eternity. You have provided everything that's real and everything that is absolutely important. And Father God, right now, we just want to shake off any of those lingering doubts, any of those lingering sort of things that we're worried about, what other people are going to say. We're scared to just trust you and scared to just live for you. Let's shake those things off, Lord. And I want to speak over this congregation just a fresh boldness, a fresh confidence in Christ, a fresh thing to say, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going for it. Lord, I just pray that people in here will just shake off any timidity that's had them bound. And I just pray, Lord, just let there be a release of faith, not just to believe it, but to act it out and to live it out with an attitude of confidence. Not self-confidence, Lord, but confidence in you, that you are with us, that the Holy Spirit is with us, that we have every reason to live our life confidently in Christ. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. What a great privilege to serve you. What a great privilege to love you and to live for you. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name.